I would tell myself that even as you're growing and you're going through all these challenges, is just know that there is a nice big old diamond at the end of the rainbow, that you're just taking on these little challenges along the way, but trust, there is a gemstone at the end. And I think it's, you know, the best way I can put it is just wait, but be ready.
Welcome to the Create and Grow Rich podcast. Now here's your host, best-selling author and award-winning teacher, Janine Letford.
Hi, I'm Janine Letford, intercultural creativity keynote speaker, and this is the Create and Grow Rich podcast, produced by Cafe Strategies, an industry leader in intercultural creative thinking and idea inclusion training. Most people don't know that your creative health affects your financial wealth and your company's bottom line. So if you're looking to increase your creative thinking capacity, as well as your financial outlook, then this podcast is for you. On the Create and Grow Rich podcast, we bring you successful entrepreneurs and top creative thinkers who exemplify that creative thinking isn't just artistry, but encompasses so much more. And it's for everyone. For the show notes for this show and for tips on improving your intercultural creative thinking with the 16 Diamond Tools of Creative Thinking and the 7 Gems of Intercultural Creativity, go visit cafestrategies.com, C-A-F-F-E strategies.com. Now enjoy the show.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We have an amazing guest, powerful woman who is doing powerful things in her sphere. I have with me today Nimi Fahuara. And she's going to pronounce her full beautiful name, but I met her through eBlast connection through New Economics for Women, which is a great nonprofit here in the San Fernando Valley that just empowers women and mothers and people doing amazing things of breaking any cycles of poverty and just breaking things that need to be broken so people can go up to the next level. So she was featured on their eBlast, and now she's featured on the Create and Grow Rich podcast, and soon she'll be featured on like global platforms, I know. And this is actually a global platform. Please welcome to the show, Miss Nimi. And can you introduce yourself and say your beautiful, beautiful name for our audience?
Of course. So my name is Nimi Lolu Fafora. It's Nigerian. I'm Nigerian. And I am the owner and the founder of The Bean Box.
So this is the Create and Grow Rich podcast. And I love to just showcase stories of people who really tapped into their creative thinking abilities and even coupled them with entrepreneurial pursuits, right? Because when you think about creativity, creativity is entrepreneurship, and entrepreneurship is creativity. It's being able to produce those wonderful ideas, to see a need, and to know that you have the skills and the tools to bring it into the marketplace if you choose to do so. So could you give us the background story of how this all started with Beanbox?
Yeah, of course. So for those who don't know, the Beanbox is a beauty subscription box for women of color. So we provide makeup products for deeper and darker skin shades. We curate boxes with various makeup brands. So the Beanbox, it's funny because I think the story of how it started, it's almost like it's been over the years of me building and doing so many random different things that culminated to the Beanbox. So my background technically is in engineering. I have a mechanical engineering degree, but with that degree, I'd always on the side, I was always doing something in like makeup or beauty or fashion. It's always just been something I enjoyed. So on my off times, I would probably be like doing YouTube videos about makeup looks or doing fashion videos or sometimes even workout videos, the most random things. But through all those times of just exercising and enjoying my passions, I think I was able to build certain skill sets that really drove me towards the Beanbox. So all that time, you know, to me, it just seemed like I'm just doing these things for fun. But in the end, each thing that I learned along the way really brought me here and kind of brought about the Beanbox. And as I mentioned, you know, makeup and fashion is one of my greatest passions. And then being able to create something for women that is inclusive, and I'm also getting to have fun on the side and curate makeup on the side, it's honestly like the best of both worlds. So it was just honestly, like I said, over the years of just building all these different creative passions, and then it ended up culminating into a whole business.
Awesome. See, I love that because, you know, I come from a high scientific family. My brother works for NASA. My sister is a scientist, and she helps send cameras into space or something like that. And my other sister's a nurse. So I'm the only like, oh, the arts and teaching little kids and let's have fun. My mom's a biology teacher, but we still love the sciences and they're all our artists as well. But you know, what was your background in your heart, a science field? And how do you think that gave you some tools or some skills for when you're doing your entrepreneurial work?
Oh man, that's a great question. My degree is in mechanical engineering, and out of school, my first thing I wanted to do was go into aerospace. Now, aerospace is a very it's a very fixed industry in that like things rarely ever change. Everything has to be done by the book. You have to be highly organized. You know, there's so many rules and red tape. But during my first couple of years of working in the aerospace field, I really learned how to manage challenging problems and try to really work with problem solving. One thing is, I remember learning in school, it's like, you're not really learning how to actually, you know, design a rocket or stuff like that. You're learning how to problem solve. And so really with my degree and my my background and my work, that's one of the skills I think I've really been able to solidify is problem solving, because that just transcends in so many different areas. And even now I see the kind of like the blessings and like the all the hard work being received through my business, all that understanding of trying to really get the root of the problem and then figure out how to correct it. It's funny. People don't ever really think about how an engineering degree can transcend and help in something like a makeup business, but it really does. One of the challenges that we sometimes encounter is like negotiating or working with different vendors. And there's a lot of logistics that goes into that. So once again, with my engineering degree and my background, it's kind of helped solve those problems and help you kind of figure out, you know, the numbers and the aspects and the things people don't really like to look at. So, yeah.
I love that. Wonderful. There's a lot of connections there, because, you know, when you talk about creative thinking, it's about connecting the unconnected. And that's some of my training that I do of, okay, how can you connect a water hose to, you know, an elephant? You know, what are some similarities? You know, so you connecting your engineering background to the makeup business, it just really livened up your creative mindset of saying, okay, what's overlapping? What can support one another? And where there's your creative gym, right?
That's awesome. Exactly.
And one other thing you brought up, just kind of staying in your engineering field for a second. Mm-hmm. I studied the work of Carol Dweck. And if you ever looked at her, she did the growth mindset, fixed mindset. And she not only looked at people or classrooms, but she also looked at fields. And she said some of the hardcore science fields, such as engineering or physics, are really leaning towards fixed mindsets. And you really see a lot of your advanced degrees, your PhD degrees for women really shrinking in those fields. Of course, that's not a huge surprise. And you being a woman of color, I'm pretty sure you saw that. But the main point I wanted you to talk on is, you know, fixed mindset, meaning they say you either have it or you don't. You're either smart in this or you're not. It's not really a, okay, just keep trying, and there's ways to, you know, grow through it. And that's a growth mindset method. Did you kind of see that? Because you said things were very fixed, you know, and it's like one way or the highway. What were your thoughts about looking at the growth mindset versus fixed mindset methods in that field? And you can also talk about in your beauty and makeup fields, you know?
Oh my gosh. So that's a really great question. Within the engineering field, I honestly think it's a matter of growth mindset. I hope I'm using the term correctly, but I do believe that if someone has like the inclination or the interest in something, you can definitely develop and strengthen and succeed in that path. Now, I say that kind of lightly, because engineering is a very challenging field. You know, people talk about it all the time, but it's not until you're in it that you start to really see that. But I definitely think it's one of those things where you have the excitement for it. When I was younger, I was the kid that would like, my mom would bring home, I don't know, like a lamp or something random. And she's like, who's gonna put it together? And I'm like, I'll do it. Like, I wanna know how it works, how the pieces go together, like how to fix it. I wanted to know all that stuff. And I think that that little spark is something, but that's what sets off the ability to grow and expand. So I have friends who are like, I could never do engineering. Like, it's just too much. But I'm like, you have a curiosity to know how this works, don't you? And even with that small question is where you're able to build and grow and expand and really, you know, enjoy that space. With something like makeup, I think it's a little bit different. I honestly think it's more so like, you know, you're just attracted to that passion, you're attracted to that field, and that's what you like. Not everyone is gonna like, they might like makeup, but they don't wanna go into it. They might think it's interesting, but they don't wanna dive deep into it. So it's weird. I think those are two ends of the spectrum, in that like the engineering is definitely like, you can grow, you can stretch, you can try to understand because it applies in so many different areas. But with makeup, it is fixed because you kind of have to have your interest and your love already there in order to grow and expand. So I think it's rare, in my opinion, for people to create a makeup-based business that they're so passionate about without having the love for makeup there first. I think you kind of have to have that at like at the stem or the root. And it's funny that I say this because I think of like some of the biggest makeup companies are owned by men. And it makes me wonder, like, where is that passion? Like, where is that that love for the makeup? Where does that stem? And not to say that men don't love makeup, but these certain men who own these companies, they don't necessarily do it. So I think, not to like go off trail, but I think this is something that ties into, you know, connecting to the owners of the company and what their message is. Are they building something just to make money because they know there's a market out there? Or are they building something because they're passionate about it, they love it, and they want to feed those who also love it? So
you have so many points and keys here about how your mom brought home a lamp and you're like, I'll do it. And that makes me think of like kids give clues. Like you were giving a clue to your mom and to the world about how your mind was working. And when you think of, you know, your creative thinking and just how you love, like, were there any other experiences in your childhood that kind of gave a hint that you loved putting things together and figuring out how things worked?
Let me think of a, yes, I think there's a little bit more stories to that. My mom can tell you so many and I forget about them. But one that I thought was funny was my mom always used to complain about how there are little bits of hair on the carpet. So I come from a family of all girls, four sisters, so huge, yeah. But there was always little bits of hair on the carpet and she hated it. She used to complain. She's like, I don't get how these little bits of hair just clump all over the place. Are you guys like losing hair in tropes? But I just told her, I think I was probably like 10 maybe. I was like, Mom, I think what's happening is as people are walking on the carpet, they're dragging their feet and it's rolling the hairs into little dust bunnies or into little packets of hair all over the place. And that's what you're finding. And it was funny, the look she gave me when I gave that answer, she was like, that's probably it. That's probably the right reason. But I, to this day, she tells that story and the fact that I think I like to think of things almost like in a detailed scientific way. Like I really want to understand the causes of things. And so that's just like a funny story that she tells. I'm sure she has many, but I've noticed that about myself over the years as well, and to which I seem to always look for the root and to understand the underlying problem or the underlying issue in order to solve it. So, yeah, we just got a better vacuum and got rid of all the hair, but
yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And I love that story, and to parents out there, to moms, to educators, it's our job to see these clues, you know, to see how our kids are thinking, because not all, you know, no kid is alike. And once again, sometimes we kind of run them through a system where they all have to go through the same process, but their thinking processes, these could be different. So I think that's just a great example of just being aware of the signs and looking at what type of things we could give our kids to really support that creative thinking. And for you, that, you know, causal thinking. Of course, we want all of our kids to have that quality. But going back to your entrepreneurial pursuits, because a lot of people listening, they're the ones who have that idea, you know, or that passion in the back of their head, but their main job is this serious thing or this, you know, your aerospace, but in the back, they want to be the makeup person. What made you take that leap to say, you know what, I'm going to try this either on the side or, you know, moonlight lighting it? What made you give it a go?
So I hope it's okay to talk about my faith, because I know sometimes that gets people get a little bit sensitive on that topic. But
I will jump in and just say, it's a part of your decision-making process. I know, of course, share it, because it's a part of how you took those steps, correct?
Yeah. That's true. That's very true. Okay, so after I graduated from school, I was, I don't know how to say this nicely, but I felt like I was in a funk, in the American dream funk, where you wake up, you go to work, and you go to sleep. And it was just like repeat after repeat after repeat. And I would come home and I would just feel unfulfilled. And I think a lot of people experience that, and where like they're working in something that they enjoy, but they also feel like there's more out there to do. So I do remember a certain point in my life where I started to pray and I was asking God, I'm like, God, I know there's something out there I'm supposed to be working on. I just don't know what it is. And I've reached this milestone. I'm graduated. I'm working as an engineer and I love it. But with this income or this money, I want to be able to do something more. I want to be able to do something greater. And I to this day, I know it was only by the grace of God that he said, this is what you can do. And this is what you can do well. And it was funny, my sister and I were just kind of talking about the idea about like makeup and like what exists out there. And the conversation just kind of bloomed. And the moment it came to me, I was like, it's the craziest epiphany I've ever had. I'm like, I need to create a makeup box for women of color. It doesn't exist. I know I can do it. And I just must do it. And that was really it. Once it came, once that spark was there, it was just ignited. And then I just had to keep going. And once again, I just have to give, you know, the praise to God, because I really feel like he was the one who first input that idea. And that not only that, but over the years, he'd been building all these different little nuggets and like, you know, just downloading all these little skills into me that brought me to where I am right now and is helping me to kind of drive and continuously move forward. So yeah, honestly, I feel like anyone who is on that fence and who's kind of like teeter-tottering about like where they want to do in life and, you know, how to make that push, it's like, pray about it, you know, sit with your faith and acknowledge the fact that you're ready for this challenge. And once it comes, it's going to knock you off like a ton of bricks, but you're going to be ready. You're going to be ready. So
I can do it. Like, if you have to actually keep saying it, I can exactly. Do this. I can do this. And yeah, it's just really being sensitive in that realm. Do you feel that, do you do things to work on your creative thinking to really be aware and to use your senses to kind of sense what's going on, to sense your environment, to sense the market, to sense the needs of the people who you're trying to serve? Like, what do you do to increase that awareness?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, technically you can just call this market research, but it's also something I enjoy is going on Facebook. I am in so many different Facebook groups for like natural hair, skincare, makeup, you know, a bunch of them. And to me, it's like, I'm doing research, but at the same time, I'm enjoying this. I'm getting to connect with women like literally all over the world about the things that they enjoy, the things that they struggle with, the things that they think about, things they worry about. And honestly, it's just a fun space for me. I think everyone likes to be in a space that they're passionate about. And then not only that, but getting to connect with other people about, like, it's like stretching yourself. That alongside, and I really like to read. I like to actually read a lot of fictional books. Most people like to read books about like self-help, and I should be reading more of those, but I'm definitely more into fictional books. I think it just really stretches your mind in terms of creativity. It allows you to like, you start to think like the writer, you start to think like the character, and it's like, it's just a different way to like challenge your mind, I think, from the stereotypical way of, you know, your own thoughts. It's always nice to read something from a different perspective. So yeah, those are some ways I'm, you know, I enjoy stretching myself creatively.
Nonfiction. I actually don't read a lot of nonfiction, so thank you for that reminder. The imagination component is so huge in creative thinking. Your ability, once again, switch that perspective is key. And the fact that you do that through fiction writing or fiction reading is wonderful. Task that I hope some of our listeners might pick up. You know, as kids going through school, we had to read nonfiction and fiction. But once we get to adulthood and there's no teacher standing over us, you know, how many of us really go? And a lot of us do read nonfiction, those of us who do, reminding us to read fiction as well, and just to get into the possibility of being in another world, in another exactly. person's shoes. And that's what you do without even leaving your own home, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So looking at me, now I would actually be your perfect customer, because even though people say, oh yeah, your cheekbones, and I will admit, you know, my cheekbones are great. Yay, thanks mom. But I am your tomboy, like throw hair in a ponytail, put on jeans, and maybe do a quick eyeliner, and that's it. My sister, my twin sister, who's 2 minutes older than me, will not leave the house unless she is fully made up and in a dress, right? So of course, like a lot of twins, we're like exact opposites. It took me a while to do makeup. And when I did makeup, I put the lipstick over my eyelids. Remember that?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Oh, and I just was a mess. So what would you advise, you know, the our listeners who are women of color, some quick tips for, you know, that busy mom or the working woman who's just has like 3 minutes to throw something on? And then the next question is, how do you put together your box, you know?
Yeah. So first of all, I was gonna say you have a lovely skin. Like, it's a radiant in addition to the cheekbones, it's gorgeous.
Thank you.
But for, you know, moms, it's funny, the Beam Box, I actually kind of created it with my sister in mind. So the name Beam is after a nickname after my oldest sister. Her name is Beanie. But she is just someone who has always been so helpful with makeup and with fashion. Like, I remember friends who maybe had a prom coming up and they couldn't afford the makeup. Beanie's like, I got you. I can do your makeup for you. Or maybe, you know, my dress ripped and I don't know how to quite sew. She's like, I'll figure it out. I got you. I always tell the story. I'll never forget. I was in 7th grade. I think my mom was out of town and I had picture day coming up and my hairstylist had canceled. And you know, in 7th grade, you're still kind of, you don't even really know how to do your hair. But Beanie was able to like sit me down and help me figure out like the cutest sleek high ponytail style. I'm pretty sure I still have that picture because I was so proud of myself. I thought it looked so cute. But yeah, Beanie has just always been that person who literally just helps you beautify yourself and make you feel confident with what you already have. And so that's kind of how I came up with the name for the Beam Box, with the beam. And that's what I want the box to be to women. So a lot of women kind of go around the same way. They don't really know, you know, maybe how to use the products or what to do or how to figure out makeup. It's kind of like a mystery to them. And then when you receive the products of all different, you know, types for your face, for your cheeks, for your nose, all that stuff, you know, through our social media and our website, we give you tips and tricks on how to use them and like ideas and hints. So you're not just walking into a world where everything looks scary and like there's, you know, brands everywhere, but you're entering like a comfortable space where you're learning as you're going. And it also, it's good for the women who are advanced and they already know what they're doing. They can handle on their own, but it's also a space where women can enter and try to understand, okay, so how is the best way to apply liquid liner, or how should I, you know, set my foundation and just kind of like ease them into that space. Now for mothers who I think, you know, often and completely understandable, they don't really have the time to focus on this. I like to turn the attention to the fact that makeup can be like a space of self-care, of, you know, just really loving on yourself, enjoying on yourself, and just making yourself feel as you look, as you feel. I mean, I think, you know, during this time, a lot of us are staying at home, you know, quarantined, doing our best to not go out and constantly wearing the sweats and the sweatshirts. You kind of feel drudgy and, you know, you don't feel the best. So it is nice to just kind of sit down and take some time, practice your makeup tips, just enjoy it in the mirror and, you know, just play around with it. Honestly, makeup is supposed to be fun and enjoyable and self-soothing. So there's that also. And if they do want a quick face or, you know, a 5-minute look, it's a matter of mascara, a little bit of lip gloss, and your eyebrows. That's half the time. That's pretty much the only pieces of makeup I'm wearing is my eyebrows, mascara, and lip gloss, and I'm good to go. And yeah, I think that those are like the staples that you need. But the Beam Box itself, like I mentioned, it's for women who want to get into makeup, who are into makeup, and they want to be able to enter that community and really enjoy and love and, you know, just kind of praise the beauty that they have. So yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yes. You know, in my company and in my literature and my curriculums, my books that I'm writing, I talk about the diamond and that how we're diamonds, but we're carrying around these diamond gifts, you know, within us, these diamond talents. And I can see that you've been carrying around this beaming diamond, you know, this whole time before you launched and you felt the need to actually jump and create this. And it's just really passionate and it's really inspiring, you know, just to share your story with my audience and with just the platform at large, because it really opens other people's eyes to what diamonds, what ideas have they been carrying around for the past decade, you know, that's been just kind of sitting there maybe in time, you know, because not all things are supposed to launch when before they're supposed to launch. So it's almost like, you know, that incubation period, you know, yeah. But when you feel that it's about to launch, it's almost like, okay, it's due, like the due date is here, right? It's coming.
Exactly.
And just to see you shine, because you're in a wonderful example of what it looks like to see you take your diamonds, to buff them off, to cut them, and to see you shine. But your shining is also helping other people shine as well. And in the end, that's the result of, you know, your gifts, is to really empower other people, yes, to walk in their gifts. How do you think your beam box is really just empowering women to see the beauty inside and out?
One thing I did not mention about the beam box is we do our due diligence to include at least one product from a woman of color owned brand. You know, earlier I talked about how a lot of makeup companies are actually owned by men and they seem to dominate that space, which makes little sense to me, but whatever. but yes, so what we try to do is really bring to other customers and show them that, like, hey, there are other women out here making products for you. They care about you. They look just like you, that they're here fighting for you as well. So that's one of the ways we like to put our message out. But then also, you know, with the Beambox, I think the main thing is to understand and focus that we're not just about makeup. That's not like the only thing. Makeup is fun. Makeup is enjoyable. Makeup is passion. It's everything that I love, honestly, wrapped in one. But at the same time, it's getting to feed that beauty that's within. It's getting to make that shine, make it outward, like pull it outward. I think everyone knows the experience of, or maybe not everyone, but getting their makeup done and you just walk around like, oof, like someone did this to me, like little old me, like I'm shining. And it's like the best feeling in the world. And sometimes when you get to that for yourself, you're like, you just feel a little bit more empowered. You hold your head a little bit higher. Like that beauty is already there. That's it, already exists. It's just shining more. That's the only difference. And I think that's what I want people to really recognize, is that I'm not here to push that everyone needs makeup. I'm not saying that, but I'm letting you know that the beauty that's inside of you, beam from within, it's already there. So we're just shining it. That's it.
I love that. Very well said. Beam from within. I remember the first time I got my first smoky eye. And it was, yeah, I looked in the mirror like, who is this woman? It was like, yeah, Someone else was looking back at me and she was pretty cool. But it just, yeah, a reminder that the beauty's always been there, you know. Mm-hmm. And you go to my alma mater, or you graduated from my alma mater, CSUN. And that's where you got your BA and, or your BA or your BS, right?
BS, mechanical engineering, yes, from CSUN.
It's wonderful to see another Matador.
Yeah.
Wrapping up, I just really love to empower our audience with, you know, just your final gem. I'll call them gems because I'm the diamond, you know, girl. And just what are some final gems that you would tell yourself, you know, 10 years ago, or you want to just tell that young woman who is ready, you know, to jump and just ready to really see what's next, especially during this transitional time in our nation. Mm-hmm. What are some final gems you would like to share?
Wait, but be ready. So I think a lot of people, you know, during times like this where everything's shut down, maybe work is a little less, people get comfortable with doing nothing, and you can't always do that. So I think the best thing, or if I could even tell myself or tell other people who are maybe in this time frame and trying to figure out what's going on, is to wait, but be ready. So what I mean by that is that you are engaging yourself with the things that you enjoy. You're stretching yourself. You're trying new things within safe spaces, of course, but you're challenging yourself. You're just waiting for that opportunity to pop so you can grab it. And it's funny because difficult to tell my younger self, because like, what's she gonna do? She's so young. She can't really do much. But I think it's important that I would tell myself that even as you're growing and you're going through all these challenges, is just know that there is a nice big old diamond at the end of the rainbow, that you're just taking on these little challenges along the way, but trust, there is a gemstone at the end. And I think it's, you know, the best way I can put it is just wait, but be ready. That's the best way I can put it.
I love that. And if I get some pictures of you, I'm gonna put that along your photo. Wait and be ready. Beambox. And it reminds me of a quote of Abraham Lincoln. I'm a big Abraham Lincoln Lincoln geek, but he says, I will study and prepare and perhaps my chance will come. So when my chance comes, a lot of people, you know, see their opportunity and here it comes and there it goes, you know, and they spend all this time not doing anything. And my two-year-old son said to me one day in the morning, threw me for a loop, but he said, Mom, what are you producing today?
Ooh.
Like, those are his exact words. And he's not even two and a half yet. But, you know, he said, Mom, what are you producing today? So I'm like, okay, is that a sign? Like, what's going on? But, you know, I extend that to everyone, you know, off of your words. You know, what are you producing? What are you doing? Well, how are you preparing for when your time will come? And your time came. And because of that, we have the beautiful Beambox. We also have your beautiful work that you did during your mechanical engineering work. Mm-hmm. Are you still doing that work? Or are you full-time Beambox?
No, I'm not full-time. I would like to think I'm full-time Beambox because I'm literally working all the time. But I do work still as a project manager, engineering project manager. So that is my day job. And then nighttime, weekends, every other time is the Beambox. So
is your goal to be full-time Beambox?
My goal is to really just push this message forward. I think that during these times, it's scary. These times are scary. Everyone knows. And I really just want to be able to make a space for women to, like I mentioned, love on themselves and grow and shine. So I don't know what that looks like, but that is the message that I want to keep pushing forever and ever.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I will certainly do what I can to help you share that message in my things that I'm producing, this podcast, my books, because I always use examples when I do my teaching points of people that I actually know, right? And I just jot them down. Like, I met this amazing girl, the Beambox, check it out. But here's the lesson that supports my content, you know? So you definitely might see yourself show up every now and then.
I'm excited.
But if people wanted to, not if, I know, when people want to find you right now, where can they find you?
So the best place to find me or contact me would be through the website, which is thebeambox.com. And beam is spelled B-E-E-M. So thebeambox.com. And my email is on there. I would love to connect with other people who are either struggling or trying to understand and fit into like the entrepreneurship or beauty space and do what I can to help. So yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. So all of that will be in the show notes as well, as far as your social media links. Please go check out the Beambox. It also makes for a great gift if you have a woman in your life, little sister, an auntie, a cousin, and you only ship in the US, or are you international as well?
We are only in the US, but international is coming hopefully the end of 2020. COVID is shaking things up, so we'll see.
Wonderful. And what is the information as far as the subscription services?
Yes.
How does that work?
Sure. So it's actually a bi-monthly box. So you sign up and you get a box every other month. We release the box on the 19th of that month. So if you sign up just in time, you will get one, and then you're on the list forever or until you cancel. So basically, you secure your spot, you get your box, and you live on yourself. $39.95, and you get 5 to 6 full-size products. All the products are vetted out by a woman of color, so you're getting products that you know will work for you. And if you want to go ahead and spread the love, give it as a gift, give them the products as a gift. So, yeah.
See, that I wouldn't have even thought about that. That's amazing. So if I know that one thing I might not vibe with one thing, I just put it over here, wrap it up, give it to my twin because I know she will love it. But I know. And another thing that I love about that is, once again, people like me, not just your tomboyish that needs a little bit of support in this, but also people who are I will wear the same nail color for the past 20 years. Like that, like once I find what I like, I stick with it. Don't mess with me. And people need to push me. If I want to teach creative thinking, I need to teach, you know, really open to new experiences. That's one of the key things about highly creative thinkers. They're open to new experiences. So this is a great way, women, to be open to new experiences on trying different things, but really bringing that in, things that have been that it really gets your creative thinking going to see how things can mix together. So that's another reason why I support you, because I'm all about the creative training for folks. And what better fun way to do it, you know, with makeup? I say with makeup and with food, you know, because like I said, I will cook the same five things for the next five years unless something comes into my life to break that routine. And so now I'm more aware of doing that because now I'm teaching it more. So I want to just really encourage our audience that this is a one clear way to really increase your creative thinking and have fun with makeup at the same time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Awesome. So go check her out. Have fun. Know that your creative health does affect your financial wealth and your life wealth, your relationship wealth, your makeup and health wealth. And know that you are a creative diamond. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now that was a great show. I'm so excited that we had a chance to bring her to my audience because she embodies the 16 diamond tools of creative thinking all the way to the last diamond tool of courageous creativity. So I'm so glad you got to hear her and I really hope you got something from her story. She was so excited to really present her idea to you of the Beam Box. And during this holiday time, she wanted to really reach out and say that you can get 15% off of your first Beam Box by entering the code BEAMCGR, which stands for Create, Grow Rich. Beam, BEEMCGR, in the code box for 15% off your first Beam Box. And they also have a family and friends Beam Box service that you can check out during the holidays. You can send someone a 3-month subscription for a certain amount, or you can just send a Beam Box to someone as a one-time gift. So certainly check her out, support her entrepreneur creative pursuits. If you have a woman or a woman of color or just someone that you want to send a beaming light to, go to thebeambox.com/gifts. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Create and Grow Rich podcast, where your creative health supports your financial wealth. If you'd like to contact Janine or ask her a question, email her at podcast@creativewealthacademy.net. That's podcast@creativewealthacademy.net. Thanks again for joining us again today. And don't forget to live a courageous and creative life.